But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It's really quite an amazing story, isn't it? Here is Jesus experiencing the humiliation of crucifixion along with these two other men who were in some degree scoundrels who had a criminal track record that was so bad that the Roman government deemed them worthy of death. And yet, in the midst of this, we find an amazing story of God's grace and the work of God's Spirit. Here we see a man who expresses repentance. How he came to this, I mean, what were the factors in his life? Of course, no one knows today, but he had come to the conclusion that he was worthy of death, that he had done things that earned for him the condemnation of society, and then, by extension, the God who he believed in. This had to be the work of God's Spirit. Repentance is the work of God's Spirit. Nobody just sort of comes to their senses. God's Spirit must bring it about, because we have the evidence with the other criminal. This is more the typical response, isn't it? "Hey, if you're all that, get us out of this mess." But no sense of his embracing his condemnation, no sense of sorrow for his guilt, or a sense of his getting his just deserts. But this man says, "I and you, my friend, deserve judgment." So we see repentance being at work. But if that were it, if there were no more than that, if there was only this sense of sorrow, then it would degenerate into self-pity or a simple resignation. But he goes beyond that and does something that is really quite astonishing. We have no reason to believe that this man knew anything at all about Jesus except what he'd experienced in those few hours of them being brought to Calvary and crucified. He saw the sign, perhaps, if he could read. He could perhaps read the sign that says, "Jesus, the King of the Jews," on it. And perhaps he heard other people calling Jesus' name. But beyond that, we know nothing, except that he uses Jesus' name in asking for him to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. Quite amazing. It's not even clear that the disciples had this understanding. They thought it was over. But this man, nailed to the cross, says to this man that he had probably just met, "Remember me, Jesus," means God is Savior. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Amazing. That had to be the Spirit of God. Nobody can come to that kind of conclusion except God's Spirit reveals it to him. But he did reveal it to him. And then the answer that Jesus gives him is not only for him, but it's for us as well. He says to him, "Today, today, in fact saying, we're both going to die today. They both knew that. It was the day before the Sabbath, and the three had to die. They couldn't be on the cross during the Sabbath. So they knew they were going to die. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. What words of assurance. What words of grace. What words of confidence, even from Jesus, about the success of his own death, that he was going to be able to say, which he did say some little time later, it is finished. It's done. And because it was done, he could say to that man whom he had probably just met on the cross or on the way to it, you will be with me in the presence of my Father. And not very long, in just a few hours. And this criminal apparently then watched Jesus die, because he wasn't dead when Jesus was dead. They came and they broke his legs to kill him. And so he saw Jesus, and he knew that when he died, Jesus would be waiting for him. This is why we have the Lord's Supper together. Because although none of us will be crucified, I would guess, none of us will be in that place where we can watch our Savior die with the literal eyes of our flesh. Yet the same truths that were characteristic of this man and what he experienced must be true of us as well. There must be true repentance where we know I deserve to die. We must also know that Jesus is the Savior. And that man didn't understand anything about justification or probably much at all. But he knew that this man was different, and the Spirit of God had made him understand that. And the Spirit of God has to have done that in us as well. When we take this communion bread and cup, we are saying, I know that I deserve to die because of my sin, but I also know that Jesus is my Savior. The Spirit of God has made that clear to me. I don't know how I could have come to that conclusion. I just didn't add it up, the pros and the cons, and decide, well, I'll go with the Jesus people. The Spirit of God has so worked in you to give you that assurance that Jesus died for you. And therefore, the same confidence that this man received is the confidence that this bread and this cup say to us. Jesus is saying, you're eating this bread and this cup now, but one day you will be with me in that great celebration, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Just as surely as that man experienced paradise on that day, we also will experience paradise one day. When we take this bread and this cup, we're saying, I know that's true. And I'm looking forward to it. And I want to be reassured of those words of grace that Jesus spoke to that man on that day so long ago. Today you will be with me in the presence of my Father. If you belong to Christ, if you know that he is indeed your Savior, and the Spirit of God has worked in you in this kind of a way, and you are a member of a church, you have identified yourself with the body of Christ, and you've been baptized to declare to the watching world that you belong to this Jesus, the Savior, then you're welcome to take the Lord's Supper with us. But if not, this is the day that you have the opportunity to make things right with the Lord, or to say, I want to be a member of a church, or be a baptized person, follower of Christ. Let's do this in remembrance of Christ. Let's stand and sing as we take the Lord's Supper together.